I titled the sermon today, To Behold is to Become. To behold is to become. This is the words of a mentor of mine, and I thought they fit here. So let me begin reading in verse 8 of chapter 4. Paul writes, Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you. Now, I find it interesting that Paul would go to such great lengths to use so many words to communicate the point that he wanted to communicate. So what I did here in your notes, you'll notice just a number of blanks, and you can guess what goes in those blanks, all these words. But I want to walk through and give you a chance, one word at a time, to look at the Greek, and we're not going to show you all the Greek words, but there's a fullness to the words that he uses that we have to understand. When we go to understand the words he used, we have many different angles of these words that communicate to us, okay? So, before we list these words, he says, whatever is. Finally, brothers, whatever is, and then the list. So before we actually list the words, we have to make an observation. Paul is evaluating everything. Everything he sees is under evaluation. He's running it through a grid, and he's saying, whatever is this, whatever is this. If you find this, if you find this, look over here. What does this look like here? So to be a Christian is to be constantly at the work of discernment. To follow Jesus means that we don't just walk casually through this world, unengaged, uninterpreting, without discernment. We walk and we gauge everything. Everything we lay our eyes upon is the call here, whatever is, and then the list. Okay? Now let's look at the list he gives us. Whatever is true. This is the first word he gives, and I believe all the other words fall under the canopy of the first word. Whatever is true is what I set my eyes upon, what I behold, is what I think about and dwell upon. Is it true? Is it true? You might think of it this way. Is this reliable? Is it trustworthy? Or would I die for this truth? Do I see it as that true? What is the source? Question the source. Where is the source of this quotation or this writing or this song? What does it speak of? And what is at the root of this claim? What's the source? Now, we have to be constantly tuned in to whatever it is that we consume, feed upon, set our eyes upon, dwell upon. This is a question that we have to answer. We have to answer it. In a world defined by relativism, which means, hey, so-and-so has a truth that's true for them, I have a truth that's true for me, and so we're just great. It takes me back to English Lit. Jenna will know, she was in this class with me, and we're reading this poem. And I raise my hand, I'm like, well, I think when the author wrote this, this is what he was after. And then the guy next to me, he raises his hand and he says, actually, I find it to mean this. It was totally opposite of what I just said. And the teacher says, yes, exactly. And I said, no, one of us is wrong. We can't both be right because there was a man and he wrote a poem in circumstances that stirred his heart to write words of truth. I can't just take and say, oh, sure, that means this to me. It means that to that other person. Is this true? What is the source? How will we determine what is true from what is false? If anyone ever says to you, I do not believe in absolute truth, it's a common theme today. Ask them in response, do you believe that absolutely? And they will scratch their heads, and then you can move forward. Absolute truth exists. It does exist, and I believe so absolutely. But our world is full of wimpy, twisted, distorted truth. Good heresy is truth with a twist. Okay? That's what makes it good. There's a little bit of truth, and then twist it all up. Satan is a master at good heresy. He can take truth from this book, and he can take it and then twist it a little bit, and all of a sudden, you've got something very dangerous. Okay, so, whatever is true, find it. Find it. Pursue it. And love it. Get after it. And then he says, whatever is honorable. Next word, write this in. Honorable. Now, this word carries with it some translations that you have say whatever is noble or dignified, distinguished, worthy of respect. Do you see when you look around in your culture, in creation, in this book, in all of the things written, what is noble and dignified and worthy of respect? If you find something there and it rings true, then get after it. Sit there. Muse upon it. Think about it. So, whatever is honorable, whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is just. My translation takes just. Some of your other translations have a different word here. But I think the most accurate word might be actually righteous. From the Greek, I think this would be maybe more accurate even than just. Is it righteous? In a sense, does it conform to God's standards? The one who exists absolutely. The one who defines all reality, does what I lay eyes upon and behold, does it conform to the high standards of God? Is it there or is it not? Is it righteous? Is it pure? Next word. Is this pure? Whatever is pure. Now, this word denotes specifically the idea of something being moral and upright, pure, clean, wholesome. Through and through, white as snow. Or is it unclean, tainted, twisted, not pure? If you find something that is radiant and clean and pure, dwell on it, think on it, glory in it. Okay? So, we walk through this world and we're running this through the grid. Is this true? Is it reliable? Does it measure up? Is it pure? Is it lovely? I find this word fascinating that Paul would put this in the list. Whatever is lovely. It's just one of those words, you're like, oh, really? Okay, lovely. This carries with it, is it pleasing? Pleasant? Is it beautiful? Because if it is, then somebody is to blame in a good way. Is it lovely? I'm telling you, one of my favorite things to do since we moved up here is the first thing I do when I step out of bed is I pull open the blind and I look at the sky right over Mount Baker. By the grace of God, I can't see Mount Baker. I can see the Twin Sisters. And if it's amazing there, then I just go straight out to the backyard and I stand there half awake, hair matted with a cup of coffee, and I'm just standing there. And many times, Jen can attest, my neighbor is sitting in his office. And they go to Good News Fellowship, and he's sitting there looking at me. But I don't care. You know what? I'm taking it in, because that direction is lovely, radiant, pure. It is true and commendable. It's commendable. Next word, commendable. Does it have a good reputation? Is it highly regarded? Would I recommend it to someone? Now, a guy who lived 300 years ago, Jonathan Edwards, he said this: we delight to praise what we enjoy because that which we praise, when we praise something, it not merely expresses our joy, but completes our joy. Let me say that again. We delight to praise what we enjoy because that praise not merely expresses, but completes our joy in something. So, one of the sunrise like that over Mount Baker, I say, Jen, come here. You've got to see this. Why is it in me to do that? What's in there? What's happening is I say, Jenny, come share this with me. Not only do I want to express this, look at that, but it completes my joy. My joy, then, is not made full until I recommend and commend. You should have seen what God did here. Look at this. Look at how beautiful this is. Look at how true this is. It's in us to do this. We were wired to worship. So ask yourself, is what I behold worthy of a strong and resounding recommendation? Would I bring someone and sit them right beside me and say, watch this, read this, look at this? We do this all the time. But does it fall through the grid? Is it excellent? Excellent. These last two terms here, they kind of review and sum up the list. Is there any excellence in what we see? And then, is there anything worthy of praise? Is it worthy of praise? What we set our eyes upon and behold, if it is worthy of praise, then I have a choice to make. Will I give it praise? Now, when I read a list like this, I think of a strainer. Now, I got to tell you, if I had it my way, I'd have gone out and tried to find a commercial strainer, because I need one like this, a big one. But Jen's strainer, thanks for letting me borrow it, it'll do. It's like we live in a world and we're constantly putting things into our strainer and then we wash it around. And whatever falls through, the good, the true, the lovely, the commendable, the excellent, the worthy of praise, we say, yes, look, look. And then there's a whole bunch of junk left in here. What are we going to do with what's left in the strainer? Throw it out the window. Pitch it. There's no life there. There's no joy and satisfaction. There's nothing worthy to be marinating in the bowl. You marinate in what's come through the grid of a list like this. Throw it out. Throw it out. So we'll come back to this in a minute. But think of your life, a gigantic strainer. Think of your home. It's like the members of your family all have their hands on this gigantic strainer, and you're just sifting. You're sifting. This is the work of following Christ. Is this true? Really? Did you hear? What's the source? How does it square with the scriptures? Oh, look, there is truth. Yes. Anything short of that, pitch it. Pitch it. So, if we find these things, as we search, whatever is, and it falls in this list, then do what? Think about. He says, think about. Another translation, NAS, would say, dwell. Dwell upon, dwell in, or reside, stay, inhabit, settle. I prefer to think of it as build your home, build your life upon. If it can run through a grid like that, and at the deepest level, come through radiant and clean and beautiful and true and pure and commendable, then get after it. Sit there and stare at it all day long. Muse upon it. Build your life around these kinds of things, Paul says. Which leads me to maybe point number two. Thinking and living. You see how he ties this together? Dwell upon these things. Think about it. Now, in Jesus' day, the culture that he was a part of, this was assumed. Thinking and living were inextricably tied. You can't separate these things. When you think, you're living. When you're living, you're thinking. But we live in a culture, kind of this Western mindset, it's like this dualism. We think that you can believe things over here and then that you can live a life that has really nothing to do with what you say you believe. Jesus would have said, crazy. You can't do that. You also can't say, I'm going to dwell in, think upon a bunch of garbage and not have it affect the way I live. You can't. Can't be done. Might say it this way. My life is a product of my thoughts. My life is a product of my thoughts. Paul knows this. He knows this. In fact, he says this about his life. Verse 9. Whatever you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, then practice, live out these things. The God of peace will be with you. Paul's grid, he said it in front of us. If you find something true and pure and commendable and clean and bright and beautiful, then live there. Practice it out. Live it out. How else could he commend that we copy his example if he had not lived his life with a big honking strainer sifting constantly? Is this true? Is this right? Is it clean and pure and bright? My life is a product of my thoughts. Another way to say this, the expression of how I live confirms that upon which I feed. My mind, my heart, the song of my soul will look a certain way. An old proverb said it this way, for as he thinks within himself, so he is. Ancient words, ever true. As he thinks within himself, so he is. You can't separate thinking and living. Another proverb, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. These words written specifically to younger men. Guard your hearts, men, younger men. Your heart is the wellspring of life. Jesus had words. He said, look, it's not the things on the outside that make you unclean. It's that which comes from the inside. And many times it's communicated through the mouth or the actions. That is what defiles a man, Jesus said. So guard your heart. Sift. Don't ever stop sifting. Don't let that garbage in. Pitch it. Throw it out. Has no place in the life of the Christian. The psalmist said this, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. Did you hear Paul just echo this? This is just an echo of that psalm. Look, anything worthless that you find as you sift through this grid, pitch it. Don't let it in your house. Don't feed upon it. Don't let the remote bring it in. It's out. Throw it out the window. Jesus spoke of sin seriously. He said, if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And if your hand causes you to sin, then cut it off. Okay, now, kids, he's not talking about self-mutilation here. He's talking about how serious sin is, and it's subtle. If you find that your eye causes you to sin, and you're sifting, and you see garbage, take the garbage and stick it in the trash can. Don't dance with it. Don't excuse it or accommodate it. Pitch it. Cut it off. Clean it out. I don't care how long you've been dancing with it. Put it to an end. Stick it out in a can. I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. We can't not mention this. The text takes us here. Media. The TV. Let's talk about it. The TV gets real quiet. Do the TV programs, your favorite shows, that you can't miss, the ones set to record on your DVR, do they sift through the grid or not? Or not? It's real simple. It's not gray, it's black and white. Look, are they true? Are they pure? Would you recommend, hey, everyone, come over, whole church, let's watch this show together or this movie. Come on. Would you sing the praise of what you watch before God Almighty? If not, what do you do? Don't watch it. There's no life there, Paul says. If you're looking to something so wimpy as a show that is full of trash, defined by a culture of sin, with highest ratings of a culture that establishes its own ratings, I mean, good grief. What do you expect to find? Love and joy and life and beauty? Nothing. Pitch it. Pitch it. Your computers. In a day, in a culture, in an economic time where everything suffers, there is an industry that does not suffer. It's an industry that takes one of the most beautiful things that God made and drags it through the dirt. Pornography on computers must be pitched. Get rid of it. If need be, I've had friends that have thrown the whole thing out. The whole computer, gone. They were that serious about putting it to an end. Don't dance with the devil. Get rid of it. Do what needs to be done. If you need accountability, talk to me. I've got a free program. It'll send me a report of your computer, the websites you visit. It'll send your wife a report. Send your boss a report. I don't care who you put on the list. Get it. Get it. We have to. We can't dance with garbage. We were created to dance with beauty and life and truth. Computers, TV, computers, magazines, books. Look, there are things that are less and things that are more. There's life in the things that sift through the grid. Let's get after those things. Think upon those things. Paul says, well, here, let's talk about this. The definition, the root of this word, amusement, literally means amuse. Ah means without. Muse, the thinking, without the mind. So, you say, hey, preacher, lighten up, man. It's Friday night. Let's see a movie. It's a big deal. It's just, we're just relaxing here, just for fun. You never shut off the grid. You never turn it off. You can't shut down the call to discernment and evaluate and critically engage. Does this movie I want to see at the theater sift out? And if not, I'm not there. The Christian cannot be amused. Now, does this mean that we're just a bunch of killjoys? No way. Christians who walk this earth should be the most joyful, the most comedy-loving. God is so creative. He's a God of laughter. I love movies. I love good movies. Let's sift them. Let's sift them. Now there's Christian liberty here. I'm not going to tell you that your movie is sinful and your movie is not. I can't say that. Paul writes clearly on this topic. But I can say that we are all called to sift. Sift. And if you find garbage left in the tank, don't watch the movie. Take it back. Number of times where my dad stopped a movie midstream, marched down to the video store and demanded his money back because of the garbage that they sold us. I loved that. That taught me this is not amusement. We're engaged here. We don't just shut off our mind when we watch a movie. If need be, we'll halt it. We'll walk out. We'll take it back and say, that was not what you said it would be. How about the $350 back? It's a call. We take every thought captive, Paul says. We take every thought captive. We are not amused. We don't walk around without our mind engaged. The sifting work is ever before us. In a culture that is defined by sin, what makes us think we can trust a rating system? Seriously. Why would I be surprised? When I watch the Oscars or the Grammys, I scratch my head and I'm thinking, what do they see? Not all the time, but sometimes the most highly recommended movies, I'm saying, is it true? Who's recommending this? What in the world do they see in a movie like that? That it could win all this accolade? It's crazy. So Jenny and I often will find the movies that we prefer not to see by figuring out what won all the awards. Not all the time. Take every thought captive. I don't mean to meddle, but I believe that a grid like this takes us places of every day, of Friday night, of Tuesday evening, after the kids are in bed. Hey, what should we watch? Well, Desperate Housewives is on. How about Grey's Anatomy? I mean, run the list. Do you find a bunch of garbage left in the bowl? And if so, what in the world are we spending our time sitting on it for? Watching it, feeding on it. Your life is a product of that which you think and dwell on. To behold is to become. I gave you a sheet in your bulletin. Everybody gets an extra sheet this week. And on it, I just said over and over and over these things. To behold is to become. And then I gave you a number of these questions with these words. Cut these out. Stick them in the places you need to stick them so that you're asking the questions. You're taking with you to work this little sifter. Yeah, there's just a few questions. Tape it to your remote. Stick it on your TV. I don't know. Cover your DVR with it. Whatever you need to put this, put it, and ask the question every time you sit to watch, you sit to buy, you sit to read. Is it true? Is it honorable? Well, coming out? Okay, don't need it. Oh, wow, this is good. Look at this. There's some meat here. There's some joy and life. There's stuff here to dwell in. Wow, let's go. Let's go. To behold is to become. Now, this call, I think, comes resounding to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Look at this, Paul writes, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another." This means that which I behold, when I set my mind on things that are true and good and beautiful and just and righteous, the glory of God is the highest echo of all of these things. All of who He is, all of what He's said, all of what He's done. When I look at those things intently, I will be changed. I can't stay the same. We are being. It's current process. We are being transformed. To behold is to become. To behold is to become. To behold is to become. You sow garbage, you're going to be eating it. You're going to be reaping it. Your kids, you sow righteousness. You build your home upon a book like this. You're going to find life and joy deeper than any Grammy or Oscar could ever dream. From one degree of glory to another. So how will I know how to answer these questions? Those listed. Is it true? Is it commendable? Is it pure? Is it worthy of praise? Is it excellent? How am I going to know how to answer this when I sit down and I've got a TV show? I don't know. Is this worth my time? Is this a good investment for me? Am I falling to the pit of amusement with this show or not? How am I going to know? It's simple. When you study, what's the word? Fake money, call that? Counterfeit. They teach people to identify the counterfeit by studying the original. You find the garbage by knowing what is true. And when you see what's true, you'll love it. And when you see the cheap counterfeits, you'll see them, and you'll see them for what they are, the sales pitch. Buy this, and you'll be happy. No, actually, that's not true. That's not true. I actually don't need that Beamer. I don't. It's not going to bring me joy and satisfaction. Kidding me? Fill in the blank. So, the source. The source of all that is true and right and just and lovely and commendable and worthy of praise, the Word of God. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching and reproof, for correction and training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Competent and equipped for every good work. You want to find what this is in its fullness? The strainer. This is the strainer, the filter of all that is true and good and right and righteous. Jesus Christ has set us free to live lives, to be holy, to be set apart for good works. We find the equipment for life in this book. This book. The very words of God. Absolute truth are these words. Absolute, absolute truth. Trust them. Live there. Build your home on this book. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another. That's what we do here. And we also, in all wisdom, singing psalms, we do that. And hymns, we do that. And spiritual songs, we do that. With what? Thankfulness in your hearts to God. Look at that. The word of Christ dwell richly. Now, when we moved up here in August of last year, God had impressed upon me in a very powerful way a deep joy in this book. And I felt moved and stirred at levels that I had never experienced before. And one of the outlets for this in my life has been writing poetry. I like to express my joy in God by writing words of praise to Him in poetry. My dad modeled this for me growing up. I love the heart of my dad that I see in his poems. And so I tackled one in September of 08. I want to share it with you today as a way to just bring this together and close this. I titled it The Sacred Words. The Sacred Words. I want to just read it for you. Just words on page when at first glance, black on white or voted chance, know these words ordained and breathed by God Himself to spend and speak. No wasted space or missing ink. The Word of God, come read, come eat. I have to do this without crying because this is my heart. Stories told of faith gone by to cast and mold this heart of mine. Live with prophets, rule with kings, feel the poet's heart and sing. Bring the offering with priests and die with martyrs' words to speak. Living words that mend and heal, sharpest blade from strongest steel, double-edged to slice and slay the sin of night and dark of day. O sinning soul, come fix your gaze. Fix your gaze. The Word of God is here to save. Transforming life begins in haste when unclean lips get just a taste of gospel truth and sovereign grace. The life I know begins to change. Come lift my eyes and loose my chains. My story starts again. Awaken me, O God, this hour, the affirmation of your power. Incline my ear and fix my gaze to find delight on every page. Equip my heart with each new phrase. Dwell richly in the lines. There is a world of people who, though blind to truth, have much to do with writing words that sway and woo. But by your grace I came to you, and eyes once blind now see the true. I sing no empty song. You satisfy with you alone. I'll give my life to make this known, to spend and speak your word aloud, to sing the gospel to the crowd. Come use me now, you have the right. Upon this book, I build my life. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for taking eyes that were once blind and opening them by grace. Through the gift of your Son and his blood, you set me free from my sin and all the dark that all I ever saw. And you show my eyes beautiful things, glorious things, things of mystery, of a God so big, so right and clean and pure and radiant. Father, you have revealed yourself all around us. Your creation shouts your truth, your glory. And then you chose, oh, thank you, Lord, you chose to give us this book, a book that helps us know you, a book that speaks of the glorious gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, the pinnacle of the expression of who you are. I thank you for the joy of sitting in this truth, lingering in it, meditating on it, marinating in it, letting it flow in and through. Father, make us a people of your word, these sacred words. Equip us, Lord, to live this life and find satisfaction by looking for the things that are true and commendable and worthy of praise and right and just and pure and lovely. Oh God, I thank you so much. Plant deeper in me a passion to study this book, your word, to know you, to love you, to express this love to those who are still lost, looking for something beautiful to pour themselves into, and all they have is their TVs and their stuff. Oh God, set us apart from a generation so lost in sin. Help your church to shine when the remote is on and engaged. When we go to the theater, help us to stand out as we sift and sort and find the good and celebrate it for you and throw out the garbage. Lord, protect us on our computers. Help us to take sin seriously and deal with it. By your power, give us strength to obey you, not to sin in such a way. Help us to be accountable, Lord, as a church, to pray for and encourage and exhort one another, to live lives among the pagans, those who are lost in this world, in such a way that we would shine. We do this for your glory. We do this for your praise. We do this for our deepest joy and satisfaction. This is the best way to live. It is. We believe that. We claim that now. Equip us to live this now. We want to close by singing these words of joy, expressing our hearts to you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. May you go this week ever at the work of sifting through the garbage to find what is true and good and worthy of praise and excellence, so that you can build your life there. Love this book. Spend your time in this book this week. You will not lose any satisfaction there. You'll find joy in life. And may we go this week with bright eyes, full of joy, not lost in the numb amusement of a darkened world, but alive to the light of God. Amen. Go in peace.